We're talking about the timeline to close the state's youth prison, Lincoln Hills. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers told the State Journal a week ago that the deadline of mid-2021 is not realistic without a significant boost in funding for the state's juvenile justice system. Do you support the closure of Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake? Do you support smaller regional detention facilities? How do you think they will impact juvenile justice in our state? Do you have a son or daughter who is an inmate? How are they doing? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. Riley Vedderkind covers politics and state government for the Wisconsin State Journal. He has been following the developments at the state's juvenile correction facilities. Riley, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So Governor Evers told you the 2021 deadline is not feasible. Why is that?
That's correct. Basically, it comes down to the fact that the governor thinks that there isn't enough money in the state budget provided to be able to get it done by mid-2021. He's had concerns about the timeline for this since taking office about a year ago. So lawmakers passed a bill that would overhaul the juvenile justice system in early 2018, and then got to work on trying to figure out what exactly that plan would look like. The original deadline to replace Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake youth prisons in northern Wisconsin was supposed to happen by January of 2021, but because of the funding allocation, the governor, upon taking office, said that that wasn't likely to happen until at least 2 years, probably after that deadline. That didn't really go over well with the Republicans who control the state's finance committee. There was eventually a compromise, and lawmakers earlier this year, in the summer of this year, as the budget was being deliberated, decided on a bill that would delay the implementation of this juvenile justice overhaul plan for 6 months. But the governor has continuously said that, you know, we don't think that this is a feasible timeline. We're going to do our best to try to meet it, but no promises. And that is, again, kind of the governor's message, you know, about a year after taking office now. And, you know, both Republicans and Democrats are kind of seeming to kind of walk back this idea that it could be completed within even 6 months. So everything's kind of up in the air still.
Yeah, would lawmakers have to change or amend this law if they aren't going to make that mid-2021 deadline?
Exactly. So currently there's a mid-2021 deadline, and they're going to continue to work within those constraints. But because it's now unlikely that that's going to happen, I would assume that legislation would need to be passed to extend the deadline. Or, as the governor said, if they want to try to meet that pretty ambitious deadline, they will need to try to find more funding, as much as over $100 million. I think nearly $130 million more in funding to try to complete these centers, which is unlikely to happen, but possible if that deadline is a real goal for people.
We're talking with Riley Vedderkind, who covers politics and state government for the Wisconsin State Journal. We're looking at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake and the future of closing those facilities down. Do you support the closure of Lincoln Hills? Do you support smaller regional detention facilities? How do you think they will impact juvenile justice in our state? Join in with your questions, your suggestions, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Riley, where does Governor Evers think the funding formula right now for juvenile justice and closing down these facilities, where is it falling short?
So it's falling short in a number of areas, particularly the money set aside for the new state facilities that will replace Lincoln Hills. So under this plan, currently the juvenile defendants that are in state that go to state prisons would be sent to either more severe state facilities that would continue to be operated under this plan, and then for the less severe defendants, they would go to about a handful of county centers, which would be scattered across the state. The idea is that they'd be smaller and close to home. So there's about a $130 million funding gap. I believe the governor, when he passed his state budget, wanted more than $275 million total. But so far, they haven't even come close to that. I think, you know, around $180 million has been put in the budget. So just to give you an idea of that, in the state budget passed in July, about $80 million has been directed to counties for those four smaller facilities for less severe offenders. $47 million roughly has been provided to the state, but only some of that is immediately available for those two state-run centers. One would be located in Milwaukee County, and then one would be located in Outagamie County. And then about, I believe, $59 million has been authorized in borrowing to expand Mendota Juvenile Treatment Center. That roughly corresponds to the amount that that the governor had wanted. So that area is seems to be met, at least for now, but all these costs could go up.
The governor has said, though, that funding is sufficient enough at this time to begin drawing down the Lincoln Hills population. What does that drawdown look like?
That's correct. So I believe I'd have to go back and look at the numbers because they fluctuate all the time, but I believe there's about 180 or so inmates, at least that they want to provide capacity for in the future. So the governor, when I spoke to him last week, said there's enough funding to begin a slow drawdown of that population. So that would likely mean that counties would simply, you know, stop sending their inmates to Lincoln Hills and would probably start sending them to their own county facilities. That's actually already happened. There are a number of counties, such as Milwaukee and Racine, because of the alleged abuses at Lincoln Hills, have decided to take matters into their own hands and stop sending as many children to those facilities. The facility has seen a decline in population for more than a decade, and that ended up leading to the closure of at least one other of the state's youth prisons, Ethan Allen. And so they can continue to draw that down. And then the idea, I think, is that some of these county centers, maybe one, maybe a couple, could be opened up. Dane County, for instance, they're asking, for a relatively small amount of money. I think it's around $4 million to renovate an existing facility or at least a building that currently exists in downtown Madison and renovate it for use to put its youth offenders. So the idea is that, slowly but surely you could begin, taking matters, these counties could take matters in their own hands and stop sending kids to Lincoln Hills, but Lincoln Hills would keep operating until everybody had a different place to go.
We're talking with Riley Vetterkind, who covers politics and state government for the Wisconsin State Journal, looking at the plans to close Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, the state's long-troubled juvenile prison, and replacing them with smaller regional facilities. Do you live in Racine or Dane, Milwaukee, or another county that has decided to build a juvenile detention center? What are your thoughts? How do you want to see lawmakers tackling funding for juvenile facilities? Join in with your thoughts, your questions, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Riley Vetterkind right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. We're talking about the timeline to close Lincoln Hills and ongoing challenges state officials have to overhaul juvenile justice. The state plans to close Lincoln Hills by mid-2021, but it hasn't finalized where inmates will be held at that point. Smaller youth facilities around the state have been the goal, so youth offenders are closer to their families. What legislation regarding incarceration, federal or statewide, do you think is necessary? How do you want to see lawmakers look at funding for these smaller facilities? Should they increase the amount to meet what these counties have requested? Join in with your thoughts, your experiences, 800-642-1234. And Wisconsin State Journal politics reporter Riley Vedderkin stays with us. Let's take a call now. John is joining us from Toma this morning. Hi, John.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment about it. I was an inmate. I'm 58 now, but back when I was between 17 and 18, I spent a year there as a juvenile offender. And I think it's a good deterrent because it's exactly like a regular adult prison. And I think that if you break it down into the smaller individual counties, it won't be an effective psychological deterrent, because I think that helped me big time throughout the rest of my life, keeping me walked the line, you know, so to speak.
What was that year like there, John? Can you describe it for us?
Well, when you first get there, you're in solitary for like 2 weeks or something like that, under observation, and then they move you to there's individual buildings.
Mm-hmm. Cottages.
Cottages, and you're in a group. And then you get moved to one of them, and it's, you know, it's more open community, like a little house, you know, and you're all one individual unit, you know. But yeah, it was okay.
John, thanks so much for your perspective and your firsthand experience there. Riley, you know, the state has tried to phase out pepper spray and dramatically reducing the use of solitary confinement and handcuffs. John, brings back his experience when he was 17 and 18. What do we know about how the youth are treated there?
Yeah, well, of course, there have been a number of issues at these prisons over the past several years, leading to a federal investigation that eventually produced no charges, but also settlements with the state that, because of the alleged mistreatment there, the state has ended up paying, I think it's over $25 million or so dollars. And so under that lawsuit, there's been a court-ordered reporter who would go in, usually about four times a year, I think it's every quarter, to assess the conditions at Copper Lake and Lincoln Hills. And those reports, while kind of pretty troubling at first, have consistently got better over the past year. The number of instances in which strip searches are occurring has declined significantly, as have the rates of the use of pepper spray and solitary confinement, both of which I believe are supposed to be phased out over the next year or two. So conditions there are improving. Staff have reduced the use of pepper spray. I think it was used on youth there about five times in July and once in August, to kind of give an example of how frequently it's occurring. And then I think that the use of solitary confinement situations where it's not absolutely necessary has precipitously declined to almost almost where it's not even occurring, at least according to this report. And so, you know, that's kind of another theme as we're looking at this is, as we're kind of battling over how many millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars to try to provide a replacement for Lincoln Hills, the facility itself is improving pretty steadily, at least according to these reports. They've dealt with pretty bad vacancy rates among staff, but the governor's administration provided about a $5 per hour increase for most staff members there. And so the vacancy rates have really improved. So we're seeing a lot of improvement. And so that may make it, less attractive to to want to deal with the replacement facilities as quickly as lawmakers otherwise would if Lincoln Hills is seeing these improvements.
We're talking with Riley Vetterkind, a reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal, who's been covering the developments in our state's juvenile justice system. You can join in. What changes do you want to see to juvenile detention in Wisconsin? How do you want to see lawmakers approach funding for these facilities? What legislation on incarceration do you think is necessary? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Joe now, joining us from Sun Prairie. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I don't believe for a second that things are improving in Lincoln Hills as much as these reports claim. I think the incidents are just not going. They're not reported as often because they're trying to clean up their image. And there's no crime if there's no witness, right?
So you're concerned, Joe, that some issues within Lincoln Hills are going unreported. And I want to bring up, as Joe makes this point, that in September we saw 26 inmates involved in 5 incidents with guards over 2 days in September, Riley. And this was shortly after the phasing out of pepper spray. You had mentioned, Riley, that there's court-ordered monitors going in and checking out the facility and making reports. Is that enough?
Well, I mean, you could make a case that it certainly isn't enough. I mean, of course, you know, as you were noting, there were a series of disturbances at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake in the fall, you know, I think advocates for youth justice would say that this is a great reason to continue with lessening the number of offenders in these types of facilities and focusing on rehabilitation and in diversion programs that that keep them out of the system in the first place. I think a lot of youth advocates as well would say that more funding is needed to address mental health. I think people would say that not enough is done. These reports are just one snapshot of what's going on at this prison and show some improvement. But again, that can easily spike into a situation that we saw earlier this fall. So, of course, you know, legitimate arguments could be made that not enough is being done.
So what did Governor Evers tell you about his next steps? What options is he considering? What's on the table?
Well, he didn't provide all that much clarity. He said that, you know, what needs to be done is looking at the budget and trying to find places to somehow come up with this funding. He did ask for a lot more money in the state budget, and Republicans didn't give it to him. There's differing arguments for why that is. Robin Voss has said that, you know, rather than complaining about the level of funding in the budget, what needs to be done is try to cut red tape and try to make this process as streamlined as possible. You know, whether that would work has yet to be determined. The governor has said that, you know, possibly delaying other state construction projects could potentially free up some funding. You know, we might in the new year be seeing some revenue projections that might provide more money in the budget than we thought we had. Republicans initially said that they want to provide a tax cut, but I don't think the governor is really interested in doing that. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of deliberations that need to be made, but we could be looking at a bit more funding in the state budget.
Like shifting priorities, additional bonding authority, or changing deadlines for other major state projects? Would that be an option?
Yeah, that's certainly something that the governor mentioned, but nothing has been clear cut, and you know, it's going to take political will to do so. This is an issue politically that you know, was relatively important in 2018, but you know, if we look at the politics of this situation, you know, we're heading into a presidential race where this may not gain as much attention as it did during the gubernatorial race. I think Representative Gordon Hintz said as much in an interview with another publication. He said that, you know, of course something needs to be done on this, but the political consequences of just continuing on the current track, you know, wouldn't be that high. So that is kind of providing another disincentive for acting quickly on this. So, you know, a lot needs to be done, but whether it will happen is unclear at this point.
Riley, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Riley Vitterkin covers politics and state government for the Wisconsin State Journal. He's been following the developments at the state's juvenile correction facilities. Coming up, Disney launched its streaming service last month with hundreds of titles from its deep archive that go back decades. Question is, how do we viewers deal with racist or offensive moments in movies like Dumbo or Peter Pan? Have you been offended by or misrepresented in these old Disney films? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. We'll look at Disney Plus after this news update on the Ideas Network.